In this small apartment in north central Indianapolis, the smell of a strong, dark coffee poured into ornately designed teacups mingles with flowing conversation spoken in Arabic and interspersed with laughter. Waeed Al-Hamoud might look at home as she sits on the living room couch, but her real home is a world away.
Syria is one of the most beautiful countries in the world. The nature there is beautiful, and it has a lot of amazing lakes and rivers. We had everything we could ask for.
Waeed, her husband Fadi Labadi, and their four children lived in Damascus until 2011, when civil war broke out. The sound of bombs exploding became more frequent, and the couple decided it wasn't safe to stay. Fadi left to live in Jordan, where he often went on business. Waeed and their four kids were expected to follow once he found housing.
The first difficulty was finding a car to drive to the border. And then the second thing was trying to get into the border. We went back and forth four times, and then they eventually let us in. But we paid a lot to get into Jordan.
Soon after they made it to Jordan, the family's apartment in Damascus was bombed. Like much of the city, only rubble remained. It proved they'd made the right decision to leave. But Fadi says living in Jordan wasn't easy.
Amman is such a small city, there wasn't much room. The kids continued to go to a school for a year and a half. I couldn't find a job, no one wanted to hire me. We got help from nonprofits in Jordan, but we felt the nonprofits weren't as fair as they could be to everyone, and the money didn't always reach us.
So they applied for refugee status, knowing it was a long shot. The United Nations estimates 9 million people have fled Syria, and only 2,000 are expected to be accepted into the U.S. as refugees this year. So Fadi and Waeed waited in Jordan. Days, weeks, months, and finally, after 3 years, they received the news. They were granted refugee status.
Had you ever heard of Indiana before?
No.
We found out we were coming to Indiana 15 days before we came to the U.S., so I Googled Indiana.
The State Department normally sends refugees to cities where they have friends or family, but Fadi and Waeed didn't know anyone in the U.S., so the government used a kind of formula to determine which city had the resources to best meet their needs.
The main thing is that refugees go to a place that's welcoming, that has a cost of living that they can survive in, that has employment.
Carlene Miller is the director of Exodus Refugee Immigration, which is overseeing the resettlement of Syrian refugees in Indianapolis.
We also have the Islamic Society of North America here. We have a mosque that has many Syrians involved in Fishers. There's people interested in Syrians in our city, and so it makes for a good environment for them to be successful.
But the arrival of Syrian refugees is also sparking political debate. Take this interaction between a reporter and State Department spokeswoman Jen Psaki at a recent press briefing as an example of the conversation that's been going on Capitol Hill.
Earlier this week on the Hill, House Homeland Security held a hearing where the leadership there said, quote, it would be a huge mistake to bring in refugees to the U.S. from Syria.
We have a lot of experience with this, with Afghanistan, with Iraq, with Somalia, and other places where the United States has taken refugees in from. Refugees are the most carefully vetted of all travelers to the United States. Every refugee under consideration for admission to the United States undergoes the same intensive security screening involving multiple federal intelligence, security, and law enforcement agencies.
Syrians are also receiving additional scrutiny, although State Department officials aren't saying exactly what that is. Former Indiana Congressman Lee Hamilton says he expects the extra screening would vary greatly depending on the individual.
The people you really have to keep your eye on, to be blunt about it, are young men. They're not exclusively the problem, but they're the overwhelming part of the problem.
Hamilton has served as chairman of the Committee on Foreign Affairs and the Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence. He says while the overwhelming majority of people applying for refugee status are simply victims of war, the remote possibility that someone could be trying to enter the U.S. under the guise of a refugee can't be ignored.
It's a hard balance to strike. You want to welcome these people into the country and into the state, but at the same time, you want to be careful about it. You want to trust, but you want to verify.
Hamilton says that's why police must keep tabs on refugees after they enter the country, by doing random checks of the places they frequent, such as the churches or mosques they attend. Refugee advocates are more worried about another issue, mental health. Most Syrian refugees are coming from a particularly traumatic situation and are reminded of it in the daily news reports about the war.
I've just been told by a U.S. official that the U.S. air campaign is underway.
This is what the war has done to Joba.
More funerals, more protests.
And many have left family and friends in their home country who are in harm's way. The U.S. cannot say how many more Syrians might come to Indiana specifically, but service providers say they're doing their best to prepare because refugee populations tend to build on each other. That's what happened with the Burmese population in Indiana. In 2002, there were only a handful of Burmese refugees in the state. Now, Indiana is home to more than 10,000, the largest Burmese population living outside of Burma. So Fadi and Waid might be the first of many Syrians who make their home in Indiana. A few months after arriving in the state, their kids are already making new friends at school, and when asked what they like about the U.S., 10-year-old Shaima and 6-year-old Hamza get excited to show off the English they've learned.
I love Indiana.
America, I love you. And the school, I love you.
But they haven't forgotten their home country. 12-year-old Ibrahim and 8-year-old Mohammed both admit they miss Syria, their grandparents, and the friends they left behind. Both kids and parents agree, though, they likely won't return to Syria. There's no end to the conflict in sight. Fadi says as long as there's war in Syria, his children will have a better future in the United States. And to him, that's what matters most. For WFIU News, I'm Gretchen Frazee.